Good morning. This is Tuesday Stand Up, and Nancy Connolly, who's a risk management consultant from RCM&D, is our speaker this morning. She's going to do the second part of a series, three-part series, on managing critical incidents, that first 24 hours, important 24 hours. And Nancy has joined us, even though she's getting up from her sick bed to do that. She has apologized in advance for the fact that her throat is scratchy. And again, I will mute everyone's lines now, and then I will be able to, except if I can do that. Okay, great. And then we'll open a little bit later for questions. Nancy, over to you.
Thank you, Jill. Thanks for inviting me to speak on part two of this series. On your last call with my colleague Denise Shope, you heard about recognition of adverse events, and today we'll talk about response. Then the next time Denise talks with you, she'll talk about resolution. As far as response goes, you'll want to be sure you plan and prepare. Ideally, this isn't something you want to make up as you go along, although sometimes that may happen anyway, even if you do have a plan. But it's important to have at least the framework for a plan and to drill on it so that when an adverse event occurs, everyone's roles and tasks are clear. And there are generally six main parts for a response, the first one being the resident's immediate medical care, secondly, setting into motion your serious event response team, determining who will coordinate the team and who will coordinate the investigation, planning your communication, both internal and external, and then the initial disclosure. And I'll go into each of these in a little more detail. So medical care for the resident is always the top priority. It will include immediate care, stabilization, and transfer if necessary. It will involve communication to and from the hospital. And it will also involve the attending physician or a medical director who for a serious event really needs to stay engaged, as this is not the time you want to delegate that to a physician assistant or a nurse practitioner. After the resident is stabilized, then you move on to the next phase of the plan. And you may not call it this, but think about in your organization if you have some sort of an event response team. Look at your resources and note the individuals you've pulled together in the past. Decide who you'd like on your team and how the team will be activated. You might use an email with a template that includes the critical information, a group text, or maybe a phone tree. Coordination is where effective leadership is critical. If you've been doing drills, this should follow naturally. So thinking about some team members, they might include, excuse me one second, my apologies, key stakeholders and decision makers in your organization, which might be administration or other facility leadership, the person with risk management responsibilities, claims professionals, legal counsel, someone with public relations or external communication responsibilities, and content experts. Think about the type of event it is and who you might have. You might be able to call on. If it involves equipment, you might have someone from Biomed. If it's a medication area, you might have a pharmacist. So think about those others that can be part of your team. As far as pulling your team together, of course, it'll always start with leadership and should at minimum include the administrator, the director of risk management, or the individual with risk management responsibilities. As far as the speed with which the team should come together, for a very serious event, you want to convene a meeting of your response team in a very short time, such as less than 60 minutes. Excuse me. After the initial meeting, you want to decide on how frequently you need follow-up meetings. It may be daily, it may be weekly, because you'll want to work on your action plan and come to some conclusions. Someone on the team should be assigned a note-taking role because you'll want to keep track of what was discussed and your action items and who might be responsible for those action items. And in keeping minutes of your committee, of your team, you want to be sure that each page has confidentiality language to try to protect it from discovery in the event of litigation. Some additional roles might involve the maintenance and security of any involved records, which we'll talk about in a minute, as well as the equipment and the medical record documentation. As far as the investigation goes, the first 24 hours is truly critical and can set the tone and direction going forward. So it's important that all of your actions be accurate and efficient. This involves having a plan for who will be leading or coordinating the investigation, who will be conducting the interviews, and deciding whether you need external expert assistance, either as we talked about with forensics or from the vendor. And it's important that everyone involved view this as a fact-finding process and not one where blame is going to be assigned. A critical part of the investigation involves securing physical evidence. I always recommend that management of physical evidence is incorporated into incident reporting policies, so equipment is managed immediately when it's involved in an adverse event. And some of the key points of that might be tagging and taking the piece of equipment out of service, whether it's an IV pump or a lift or a broken wheelchair, tagging it, taking it out of service and sequestering it, securing it in a safe place. It's also important to not dispose of anything, any piece of equipment or any part, even if you think it's insignificant. And that goes for packaging, labels, IV tubing, all parts that were involved in the event. You shouldn't try to clean, reset, recalibrate, or fix the equipment. And this, you know, I know a lot of people do turn things over to a vendor immediately, but you might want to wait on that and not turn it over until you've determined that it's no longer needed internally. You might want to have it examined by your own expert before turning it over to the vendor. But again, that may be subject to your contract with the vendor. You'll want to obtain any maintenance agreements, maintenance logs, or other records, as well as standard operating procedure manuals and internal policies and procedures related to the equipment. Other than the equipment, physical evidence gathering might involve taking photographs. If someone tripped on a curb or a stairwell, or if there's any other environmental concern, take a photograph of it and then secure the photographs. If you have surveillance cameras that run a tape, sequester the footage. Ensure the integrity of your medical records. If you have an electronic record, if you have a watch list to monitor access, because, you know, when things happen, everybody gets curious, and you'll want to monitor the access to that medical record. Gather and secure all your electronic documentation, logging of alarms and other data related to equipment, entryways, wandering alarms, any of that data. You'll want to make sure you gather and secure that. So that covered the physical resources. We also need to consider our human resources in an investigation. So interviews are a really key part of an investigation. And you won't have them all done in the first 24 hours, more than likely, but you'll want to decide who on the team is going to conduct the interviews. You can identify who should be interviewed, beginning with the people closest to the event. You want to prepare for them by designating a private and secure environment. Determine what questions you'll ask. Stay on point and keep the witness focused. It's important that the person doing the interviews be non-judgmental and empathetic. And it's important that the interviewee knows that this is a fact-finding interview and not one looking to cast blame. The interviewee should also be told that everything said is on the record. When interviewing, starting with the background questions is a good idea. It helps people relax, and you'll learn a lot about the rhythm of their speech and the way they respond to your questions. You might ask about their role in the organization, their work history, or their education. You want to ask about clinical details of the resident. Avoid yes or no questions when you can. Use open-ended questions such as, tell me about what happened. And then just ask them, and then what happened. And continue to do that until you have the whole story. Cover the period before, during, and after the event. And review the steps chronologically. Ask if there were any quotes from the resident or the family. And clarify any inconsistencies through the medical record or other interviews. As far as communication goes, there are both internal and external communication considerations. It's important at the outset that a point of contact with the resident and family is identified, so they have one person in the organization that they will communicate with. Because I know you know how this goes when families approach several members of the organization looking for different information. Things can get very confusing very fast. So it's important that the resident or family have a point of contact within the organization. As far as other internal communication goes, think about who in your organization needs to know immediately, the administrator, the CEO, the board of directors. Along with communication about the event with leadership and the team, informing your employees should also be part of your plan. While you wouldn't necessarily share details about the event itself, let's face it, when something bad happens, the news spreads with lightning speed. You might want to consider communicating to employees that a serious event occurred and that the organization is responding appropriately. This is also the time to remind them that any inquiries from the residents, the family, the community, or the media should be directed to the appropriate member of the team who's authorized to speak on behalf of the facility. You'll also want to take this time to discourage any toxic gossip and spreading of rumors about what happened. As far as external communication goes, communication with those outside the organization should come only from a designated source. If you have a missing resident, for example, will you put out a silver alert or a Facebook message or request the media's help in spreading the word? This goes for communication to regulatory agencies, the medical board, the nursing board, law enforcement, and the media. Make sure that only the appropriate people are speaking to them. Disclosure may take place in part initially, and again as part of the resolution. Think about what you'll tell the resident and family immediately, what you might tell them during the investigation, and then when the investigation is complete. The worst thing, I know you know this, is to say nothing. Because people get very angry when they feel like they're being stonewalled. So it's okay to say, I don't know, but I'll let you know when I do. And then follow through with being completely truthful. Let's use the example of a resident who was dropped because he was not transferred correctly or the lift broke and he sustained an injury. You might say, your father was injured during the transfer from his bed to a chair. We don't know how it happened, but we're looking into it. And we'll share with you what we learned. And then really and truly follow through with that until the loop is closed and it's resolved. And as I said, Denise is going to be talking more about that with you next time. So thank you for your time. And as I said, next time you hear from Denise, we'll conclude with the resolution process. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy, and we really appreciate your being willing to do this, even though you're certainly not feeling well. Let me open everyone's lines now. I'm taking you off of mute so that if you have questions for Nancy, now would be the time to ask them. Any questions?
If no one has a question and you want to share my email address, if someone wants to ask me directly, that's fine too, Jill.
Okay, great. I'm going to turn the recording off here.